If it's creepy and it's freaky, it's on hashtag Creaky, a podcast about the paranormal and unexplained. And here are your hosts, Megan and Brooks.
Thank you for that introduction, disembodied voice.
Yep. It's been a long time since we've heard from disembodied voice.
Well, it has been a minute.
We kind of left y'all hanging and we're sorry.
But we're back.
We're back. New year, new creaky.
Happy new creaky.
Yeah. And I think on our last episode, we talked about how in this episode, we're going to talk about skinwalkers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's where we left off.
Which is something I'm pretty excited about talking about. And I've kind of, maybe, sort of had an experience.
Really?
Yeah. I keep hearing this owl in the backyard. Mm-hmm. And I'm literally the only person that hears it. And it got right up to our window one night. And it was actually the Christmas Eve. I was hanging stockings and putting the stuff in the stockings, you know, for Santa, because sometimes he needs help. Mm-hmm. And it was right at the window and I heard it and it sounded like a person imitating an owl and it freaked me out. So I told Kevin and he went outside and he couldn't see anything. And I was like, okay, so I come back downstairs and there it was again, mm-hmm. right at the window. And like, I was scared to look out the window. But in my research with skinwalkers, they say, different sources have said that they are most frequently seen as coyotes, wolves, foxes, eagles, owls, or crows. And I didn't know that. And then I was like, oh God, is that the owl that is chasing me and only me? But to get into it, for our listeners who maybe haven't heard of skinwalkers before, a skinwalker is something. I wouldn't say really a person, a spirit maybe, that has the ability to transform into any different type of animal at will. Mm. Is there anything you would add to that?
Yeah, from my research on it and from stories and stuff, that it's the equivalent of like the Native American boogeyman. And mainly from Navajo, they believe that skinwalkers are shape-shifting witches, being able to actually become a skinwalker by doing something like very, very bad.
Kind of like getting initiated into a gang. You can get initiated into the skinwalker gang.
Yeah, so something like that, something to that equivalent. I mean, this is through my little research I've done. It's just some stuff I've come across. I didn't know that you can actually, that there's rumors that you can become one. I thought they were just, there.
Right, yeah.
That they were like separate from humans, and I have my own personal theories as well about them. I always got to come up with my own ideas and theories about, well, what about this?
Right. Yeah. In my research, I did see that I think it was the Navajo.
Yes. I think that's like primarily like it's Native American, but mm-hmm. primarily Navajo is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And right here, it says that the word skinwalker in Navajo is Yi Nagaloshi. And that translates to he who walks on all fours, on two legs, mm-hmm. coming at ya. But if it could be an owl, that's not all fours. I mean, if it's a bird, can it fly, I guess?
Well, I don't understand. From what I've seen, it's usually mammals.
Right.
When people have all these different encounters and stuff that we've seen, I've seen online and whatnot, or heard through like stories on YouTube.
Right.
They're usually some type of mammal, deer, coyote, wolf, something like that, dog.
Right. I want to talk about some experiences in North Carolina that I found in my research, specifically Golden Valley, North Carolina, which is like a state park sort of right outside of Charlotte. So I don't know if you've ever heard of like Uwari, which is a state park. I've been up there because they have a shooting range. So I used to go there and shoot. And it's right outside of Uwari. It's called Golden Valley. And I might have been there. I'm not sure. But there seems to be a lot of activity in that area of Golden Valley, North Carolina.
Multiple sightings.
And I'm going to read a little bit about some things that people have posted. It's all sorts of strange and unusual stories and legends of people living there. And they're seeing things that they know shouldn't exist. And as we've said, a skinwalker is a person that's able to change from a human to a creature. most likely a witch type person, hopefully.
Say hopefully.
Hopefully. I mean, I hope my kid doesn't turn around and become a skinwalker and I'm just like, what the hell are you doing?
I'm a skinwalker, mama.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, serious.
Yes.
Very serious. Okay.
Very.
Over the years, something or someone has lived in the woods of Golden Valley, North Carolina. And it's not been that many years ago that there were many reported sightings of a human-like creature with long fingernails and canine-like teeth. The body of the creature reported was said to have long black hair growing on it, and the creature was reported as having attacked many farm animals in the area. Some people claim to have seen the creature stand up on its hind legs, and it was reported that the creature or creatures were at or near 7 feet tall or taller. There are many reports of the creature being seen, and though some people said they got a good shot at it, either they missed it or the creature wasn't harmed by the bullet at all. Mm-hmm. One story that's been told is that the state hunter used his dogs to chase the creature out onto a sandbar on a local river. The creature looked like a cross between a man and a big wolf, and that when the creature ran out onto the sandbar while being chased by the state hunter dogs, the hunter said that it changed from a giant wolf-like creature that ran on its hind legs into a big naked man, and the naked man jumped into the river and swam away. The state hunter, who was part American Indian man from South Carolina, told the local authorities what he had seen, and they told him he was crazy. But over the years, other people have seen similar things. People commenting on the story said, sounds like a bear with mange. But this isn't in the mountains, and a 7 foot tall and turning into a human, it doesn't really sound too bear like to me.
Yeah. I don't think bears have that capability.
Yeah. So there's a place for us to go and do some investigating in the Golden Valley, North Carolina area. I would like to find some more stories and see if anybody else has posted anything about the skinwalker in that area. So it definitely sounds like a skinwalker to me. Mm-hmm. Now, I know this might be going off subject, but when you went camping, where did you go camping? What area?
Oh, see, it was in North Carolina, and I'm trying to remember the name of the place. So I did want to circle back to that story that I've been wanting to share.
I know, from our I've been waiting. He refuses to tell me off podcast.
Yes, so we've been waiting this long, which I might as well circle back to it now because I can't remember where it was at. It's fairly close to Fayetteville. It was just west of it. I can't remember the place. It has a weird name.
Oh, so it's closer to like the eastern part of North Carolina.
Yeah, but being that you brought up, I might as well go ahead and just tell that story real quick.
Yeah, I would really like to hear it.
Because as we talked about before, you know, my wife had got me for a birthday present the spirit box and the EMF detector. So we busted out the spirit box. It was me, my wife, one of our younger sisters, Jessie, and her husband, Michael. And we're sitting around the campfire at night, and we brought our dog, Kramer. So he was out there with us. He was laying. He was laying in between me and my wife, and we busted out, and you know, I started doing some spirit box, you know, using that first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's going through and you hear like random words and whatnot. We started asking questions. If there was, you know, anyone out here in the woods, if there's any spirits around. And Jesse just jumped like a mile ahead and was like, are there any demons here? And we all looked at her like, whoa, back it up. Whoa, let's calm ease down. Into this. she just immediately went to like the next level. But it was going, and I mean, it was like pitch black dark, and it was just the fire, you know, provide what little light it was putting off. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, the phrase comes across the spirit box that said spooky. You just hear a guy go spooky. And I looked up, I said, I heard spooky. And Michael like immediately, you know, said, I heard it say spooky too. And then Kramer gets up and starts looking behind us into the pitch black forest and starts growling.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And so my wife looks at me and says, turn it off.
They're like, but babe, you bought this for me.
Yeah. So, I mean, we turned it off. She said she didn't like it because that it was making, it was putting off so much noise, you know, it's really loud. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't hear anything if anything was around us.
Yeah.
Which was true, but Kramer heard something.
Something
got Kramer riled up to where he was looking in the opposite direction of where we were, and he was just growling. And that all happened like in immediate sequence. It was the spooky came over the spirit box. Me and Michael confirmed it, and then Kramer stood up and started looking behind us into the pitch black and growling.
Wow! So he wasn't like looking anywhere near the spirit box.
No, he was looking like completely opposite direction of us because he was laying between me and my wife, and he got up, turned around, looked behind us, and started growling.
After you turned it off, did you hear anything?
No, we heard nothing.
Ooh.
Yeah. Now, there was an instance where one of the mornings I woke up, it was still pretty dark. It was still pitch black dark outside, and it sounded like someone had walked right into our camp.
Really?
Like, it sounded like footsteps from a distance closing in and then coming right past our tent and into our camp. And I got up, I grabbed Kramer, and my wife didn't want me to go outside. And I said, I need to go out there and see if there's anyone out there.
Yeah, you don't.
Yeah, so I grabbed.
Stay hiding.
Yeah, I threw my boots on real quick, and I like unzipped the tent real quick with my flashlight and turned Kramer loose and hopped out there, and there was nothing. But it legit sounded like, I mean, the crunching of the leaves, it sounded like something bipedal strolled into our camp, but there was nothing. Wow. And that was something else I had found in the research with skinwalkers. I've also seen some instances and some stories where they just vanish into thin air. One of my theories with skinwalkers is that they are, once again, one of these possible creatures that has the ability to pass through dimensions.
Yeah. And hence Skinwalker Ranch.
Yes.
Which I did do a lot of reading, and I watched some documentaries on Skinwalker Ranch, which is an area in Utah, I believe, right? Utah?
I believe so.
One thing that really kind of, I mean, all of it's scary, but one thing that sent chills down my spine was when they were talking about the cows and what would happen to some of the cows. Have you heard this?
Is it the... Well, I'm not sure if I'm thinking of the same instance. What did you find?
The story that I heard was a female cow gave birth, and it was a brand new baby cow. Somebody was out, they were out there helping her give birth. The cow came out, everything was good. It was, you know, wobbly, but walking, and they helped lead it to the mom's udder so it could eat. So, you know, it was a while before the cow gave birth. Everybody was tired. They decided to go back to the cabin that's on Skinwalker Ranch and eat, and then come back and check on it. Right after they got done eating and they, you know, got out of the house, they could hear the mother cow just mooing and making this god awful moo. They get back there and the baby calf had been skinned, but there was no blood, nothing. And in the amount of time that took them to go eat and come back, which was like maybe an hour, it looked like whatever happened to this calf just almost like it, I don't know, like it disappeared. Whatever the skin off of it, the innards, everything, it was just almost just bones and nothing. The mom cow was fine, like, but there was no blood, no nothing. It was just remnants of a baby cow. And they said that those types of things happen to the animals a lot, where they'll just be skint or destroyed. And the main thing that spooked me was like, there's no blood. Where is the blood?
Yeah. Where's the blood?
Right. Have you heard of like the animals on Skinwalker Ranch like that? Or
some of the things I've heard of, of course, is them being attacked, killed. But then there were some instances where like there were like sections of them that looked like they were cut out, like not even like actual sections, like just pieces of them like missing, where they would like, I think they took pictures of it and showed it to like veterinary doctors and whatnot. And they showed, you know, it's like, they say it almost looks like it was cut with like a scalpel or a laser or something. Like it's too clean.
Yeah, exactly. Surgically. Like, you know, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when it comes to like skinwalkers on that ranch, I couldn't find too much about the actual skinwalkers that people have seen. Have you heard or read anything?
One of the things I saw about Skinwalker Ranch that really stuck with me, I think I brought it up in a previous Creaky podcast, is where there were two guys up on a mountain, and it was nighttime, and they were doing, one had the thermal vision, and the other was just, you know, sitting there, you know, looking around as well. And there's all, you know, there's all this instances of them talking about these, like, bright lights that appear at Skinwalker Ranch. You know, you'll just see a light in the distance. Mm-hmm. So, according to this story, one of the guys, the guy that had no thermal vision, was looking and saw this bright light in the distance and said, "Hey, look, there's that. There's one of those lights." The guy with the thermal goggles with the thermal vision looked over there and stated that he could actually see a hole where it looks like a portal, that it looked like there was a different world on the other side, like there was a different sky. Mm-hmm. And he saw something, put his arms through, pull itself out, fall to the ground, stand up and run away.
Wow.
And I think of course, to the naked eye, it just looks like a bright light. You can't see that without, you know, those, that type of vision.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought of Jim Carrey and Ace Ventura.
Yeah, he's hiding these rhinos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that's like one of the stories that I kind of really like when they were talking about that, about the Skinwalker Ranch and that story. It made me kind of like sit up, you know, on the couch, and I was like kind of leaning in like, wait, what?
That's the portal.
Yeah. So once again, just the whole idea of maybe these lights are these portals opening up, and that these things do have the ability to cross between dimensions, or also have the theory that skinwalkers might actually be extraterrestrial, and that these portals are not dimensional portals, but portals from different worlds.
Right. Yeah.
And that these alien creatures are trying to mimic, you know, there's all this talk about in these stories where you hear where some of these animals, they don't even look like animals. They look like they're mangled. They look like they have like the torso of a human and the head of a deer and bent back arms and legs. And they start mimicking people's voices, but it sounds distorted.
I've heard that. Like they don't exactly know how to get it right.
Yeah. So it could be aliens who have the ability to change like that, but they're still trying to master the ability of mimicking. I would think even if you could, if they could pass through worlds or dimensions, I mean, it would just disappear unless there are specific points that they can only pass through, like hot spots, you know, in our world that are easier to pass through. Because I would think, you know, some instances they talk about where, you know, things are chasing them or things are running away. You know, if they're running away, you know, if they can pass through dimensions or worlds, you know, do they have to get back to these hotspots? I mean, that's what they talk about with Skinwalker Ranch, is that Skinwalker Ranch is in general a huge hotspot.
Right. Yeah. It makes me wonder, because I read a comment on something I was reading about skinwalkers, and someone said, you always hear the stories and they never get the person. Like they're always trying to get their person, but they never get the person. And I was thinking, well, the ones that they get are missing, right? Like you're not going to hear their story.
That's true. It could be like, it'd be just a missing person in the woods. Someone went missing.
Right. Yeah. Well, there are instances of people going missing in the woods with like no trace of them, or the things that they find or just so out of the way, like it doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen some stories about that as well. Where people who are experienced hunters are with a group, and all of a sudden they go missing, and they find things that are pieces of all the clothing or, like their shoes, and they're just way out of the way of where this person would go.
Right.
Like, you know, they know the terrain, they know where they're going, they know how to get back. It's, you know, they went missing, they, you know, night falls and they're still not back. So if these people are experienced hunters and you know, experienced outdoorsmen or women, you know, they go missing and they find these personal belongings of theirs so way out of the way, where it's like, why would they be up here? Why would they even remove this article of clothing? I think one guy went missing on the woods. They found his boots up on like a ridge.
Yeah. I think I heard that they found, and like he had a backpack and they found that like way far away too.
Like, if you're lost in the woods, what would compel you to say, man, I really need to take my boots off and go barefoot?
Yeah, like this makes more sense than keeping my shoes on.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've heard that too. And like a child went missing and they found nothing, like no trace of this child whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And it was like they were there 1 minute and then the next minute they were just gone. Which, I mean, it's like the worst is the child to go missing. But there were a couple of stories that I read. One was, I believe it was in Utah, and it was pretty recent. He was 2, and he went missing, and there was no trace of him whatsoever. People are convinced the parents had something to do with it, but it was the parents and a grandparent and a friend. And so, like, they can't all be in on it, I guess.
You know, I think I've actually heard this story. Did the dad like jump in the truck and start going up the road to see if the child had wandered up the road?
Yeah. And also to get signal because they didn't have any like cell service. And the mom was like frantically, like they thought that the grandpa was watching him. The grandpa thought that the child went with the parents because the parents were going down to watch the friend fish or something like that. And so there's like no sign whatsoever. They searched and searched. And in this area, a 2-year-old can't get too far, you know? And then there was another story of a child that went missing and was gone like all night and was found like 9 miles away. And he was 2 or 3 and he was alive. And like they interviewed him. But he couldn't remember anything that happened. Of course, you know, you're that young. And when they got him, he couldn't remember anything that had happened. Like they found his coat. So he had taken his coat off. But how could a child, and where they found him too, like he would have had to went through briar bushes and areas that you wouldn't think a 2-year-old would want to go into. But that was the one where they found him alive. Let's take a quick break and then come back. And we're back. Thinking about that owl and how it possibly could have been a skinwalker, which it's probably not. It's probably just a mean owl that just wants to fuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah, see, that's a good possibility.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go on. You know, I listen to other podcasts, and there is this podcast that I listen to where people call in and they give their experiences. And it's all different paranormal experiences, and one in particular like stood out to me, and it was one with a skinwalker. And I think I've told you this story before and maybe even on the podcast, but I'm going to repeat it because we are talking about skinwalkers and it is relevant. This guy worked for, it was like the YMCA, some kind of youth center where they did lock-ins at night. And anybody that's not familiar with that, kids would go and be locked in somewhere, not really locked in, but stay all night somewhere. And they would have activities for them. And some would sleep, some would stay up all night. It was like a fun thing. And I went to several lock-ins when I was younger.
Yeah, I've done that before as well.
Yeah. So it was him and other grown-ups that were working this lock-in with the children, and they were doing different activities for them. Well, a few of them smoked, so they would go out on smoke breaks. And in one instance, one person stayed in and the rest of them went out to just get some, you know, air. It was summertime. It was nice and cool out. So they all just wanted to kind of get out of the area with the tons of kids. While they were out there, they noticed a coyote in the distance, just kind of going back and forth and looking at them. They kind of brushed it off like, oh, it's a coyote. That's kind of weird. But it was far enough away. They thought it's just going to go back in the woods. Coyotes don't come near humans. Mm-hmm. Every time they would look down and look back up, it would be closer. They wouldn't see it moving closer. They only saw it after it got closer. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the guy's like, look, we need to probably go inside. I've heard that if coyotes get close to you, then they are probably rabid or something, you know, something's wrong with it to make it want to get close to us. And so as they're all going inside, he's not taking his eyes off of it this time, and it's getting closer, and he notices it looks weird as hell. It's not like your average coyote. It had missing fur in areas. You know how the knees were backwards, like it didn't have like canine like, you know, back legs. It had like human like back legs, you know. And he said, like, he was getting everybody in, and then all of a sudden it stood up on two legs and started running towards them. And so in the morning, when it was time for the parents to pick up their kids, like, they had people out there just making sure this thing wasn't out there. And but after it became daylight, like, they didn't see it again. It was gone. It was just coming at them at night. And a lot of the experiences I've read have kind of similar, where it starts out on four legs and then it goes on two legs and comes running. And he also said that it was making noises, but it wasn't like animal noises. It was like almost something imitating an animal, maybe an alien, and they just can't get it right.
Yeah, like they're still trying to work on perfecting how to imitate humans, which would be understandable why they would want to still try and stick with mammals, being they were mammals as well.
Right.
So they're starting off with like deer, coyotes, wolves, foxes, and trying to, I guess, maybe possibly work their way up from there.
Every time I hear coyotes now, though, I'm like super alert. I have read that sometimes the experience of seeing it like changes the way that they are, almost like it like put a permanent imprint on them, basically, and they start to have more experiences of different things. And I don't know if that's because now they're open to it. They've seen it with their own eyes. So now they're open to other things. But I also read that.
I think I've heard a story about that as well, where I think it was another Native American. It was a young boy. It was a story that I had seen where his dog had got lost. He lived with his grandmother and his dog had got lost. And when he found the dog, the dog looked weird, but had like different color eyes. I think the eyes were yellow, which is something else I've seen pretty common with skinwalkers, yellow eyes.
Yeah.
And so he ran home and told his grandmother, and his grandmother, which was, you know, she was a elder Native American, panicked, got up and started locking all the windows and the doors. And he was pretty young at the time and was just wondering, you know, grandma, what are you doing? She grabbed him and looked him in the eyes and stared into his eyes for like a good 2 minutes. And then I guess came to realization that she told him to stay away from the dog. And it seemed like she was checking him to make sure he wasn't a skinwalker.
Oh, wow.
That this is common with some Native American lore, is that they try and become one of the pets or one of the animals to get in closer to a human, to try and take the human and become that human.
Yeah. And there's actually a story that I want to read that goes along right with that. And it is from a Navajo man when he was a child. Him and his uncle were chopping and gathering firewood for his grandmother because it was getting dark. They were driving back on a dirt road at about 30 miles per hour. And he had this awful sense of being watched. And he said before he could turn to look out his window, his uncle quickly shouted, "Don't." And then he completely froze. He said he felt like his heart was beating out of his chest. Then it completely stopped when he heard a tap on his window. He said his uncle sped up and was loudly praying in the native language. The guy didn't know what was going on. He was a kid and thought it was over till the truck suddenly dipped from the bed. I don't know what that means, but maybe like
It probably did something jump in the bed of the truck.
Yeah.
So they felt the dip of something, like the something jumping in the bed of the truck, and it kind of dips down on the suspension. We feel someone climbing the back.
Yeah. Oh, that's exactly what happened. He said that his uncle started saying, "Look at me, don't turn away," over and over. Then he heard it again, tap, tap from the window behind him. So, yep, that jumped in the bed. He said it was getting harder for me to breathe and he wanted to cry. A minute or two passed and the truck dipped again. He said his uncle looked around and kind of like let out a sigh of relief. It was quiet besides the truck in the road. And his uncle looked at him and said, "We will ask your father to do a prayer in the morning so the evil will forget our faces." So that's why you didn't want him to look at it, I guess.
Because
would see his face.
I've heard stories of where skinwalkers, once they attach themselves to you, or I guess get your scent or zone in on you, they will follow you no matter where you go.
Any experiences people have had in vehicles, most of the time starts out as looking like brake lights on the road or headlights on the road. There was one that I read that's a really long story. I didn't want to read all of it, but it was about a girl and her brother and her mom and dad, and they were on a trip and they were going through Navajo country when it happened. She kept seeing lights in the distance and thought, oh, there's a car on the road with us. You know, they hadn't passed any cars. So it was like, oh yay, finally somebody else on the road with us. And then they would see it again. And then she was waiting for it to come over this hill, and they pulled over so her brother could use the bathroom. And then she didn't see it. And she was like, asked her dad, what do you think happened? And her dad was like, oh, people do silly stuff. Maybe they pulled over too, or maybe they turned around. Who knows what happened? When she turned back to look at it, she noticed that there it was, but it was slowing down. Like, it disappeared, and now it was back, and now it was going slow. Turning back to look out the windshield, she saw that they were rounding a sharp bend in the road. All right, this is when they're going back. They're driving now. And her father had slowed the truck to about 55 miles per hour. And she said it seemed like time slowed down and the atmosphere changed somehow, like an otherworldly quality. She turned her head to look out the passenger window when her mother screamed and her father cried out, Jesus Christ, what the hell is that? One hand instinctively reached over and held down the button for the door lock, and the other tightly grabbed the door handle. She braced her back against her small brother and held firmly onto the door, still not knowing exactly why she was doing that, but it was like instinct. Her brother was yelling, what is that? What is that? The dad immediately turned on the interior light, and she could see that her dad was scared, like more scared than she had ever seen him before. Like, he did tours in Vietnam, and he looked, when he came back, he looked really horrible, but this time he looked even worse than when he had come back from Vietnam. Her mom was Japanese, and so she said that she just kept screaming in like Japanese. I guess whenever you're bilingual, you always go back to screaming in whatever language,
your main language, your native tongue.
And her little brother just kept saying, oh my god. As the pickup sped around the bend in the road, she could see that the shoulder dropped off deeply into a ditch, and her father slammed on the brakes to prevent the truck from swerving into the ditch. As the pickup was slowing to a stop, something leaped out of the ditch at the side of the truck. And now Frances could clearly see what had started the panic. It was black and hairy and was eye level with the passengers in the cab. If this was a man, it was like unlike any man she had ever seen. Despite its horrible appearance, it was wearing man's clothes. It had on a white and blue checkered shirt and long pants. She thinks possibly jeans. Its arms were raised over its head, almost touching the top of the cab. The creature remained there for a few seconds, looking into the pickup, and then the pickup was past it. She could not believe what she had just seen. It looked like a hairy man or a hairy animal in man's clothing. It didn't look like an ape or anything like that. Its eyes were yellow and its mouth was open. By the time the family had reached the next city for gas, they finally all like kind of calmed down. The dad got out and checked the side of the truck to see if the creature done any damage. They were surprised to see that there was nothing, no damage. There was dust all over the truck and none of it was disturbed. They stayed at that gas station for like 20 minutes to kind of like stretch and kind of gather themselves, I guess. And then they drove home to Flagstaff with the cab light on and the doors locked. And she says, I wish I could say this was the end of the story, but it's not. So this thing followed them.
Locked on.
Yep. They looked at it. They saw it. She saw its eyes. So it saw their faces. I think that's the main thing. Like, it sees your face. And that guy that told the story of the coyote, like I said, he was having more experiences. Maybe it's because the thing saw his face, you know? A few nights later, around 11 o'clock, Frances and her brother were awakened by the sounds of drumming. They looked out his bedroom window into the backyard, which was surrounded by a fence. At first, they saw nothing but just the woods beyond the fence. Then the drumming grew louder, and three or four men appeared behind the wooden fence. It looked like they were trying to climb the fence, but they couldn't figure it out mechanically how to get their legs over the fence. Unable to get into the yard, the men began to chant. She was so scared that she slept with her brother that night. Sometime later, Frances sought out her Navajo friend, hoping she could offer some explanation. She told Frances that it was a skinwalker that had tried to attack her family. And the skinwalker attacked them was quite unusual because they normally don't bother non-natives in Navajo country. So if you're in Navajo country, they usually try to go after, I guess, native people. I don't know. A lot of stories I've heard have been non-native, so. Yeah, she took her Navajo friend to the fence and then revealed three or four skinwalkers had visited the house. She said they wanted the family but could not gain access because something was protecting the family. Frances asked why. Why would skinwalkers want her family? And the Navajo woman said, your family has a lot of power and they wanted it. Again, she said that skinwalkers don't usually bother non-natives. She believed that she wanted the family enough to expose themselves, like you could see them. So later that day, the Navajo friend blessed the perimeter of the property and the house and the vehicles and the family. And she said she hasn't been bothered by skinwalkers since then. Hmm. It makes me curious of what power they want. There's something that the skinwalker wants, and that's why it appears like to you.
Their motives.
Right.
But why only certain people? What is it about certain people that make them attack?
Yeah. Was it trying to wreck the vehicle? That's what it sounds like. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the other stories that I read, they jumped in the back of that truck. They were trying to get them to look at them, I guess, so that they could do whatever they need to do. So yeah, I don't know. It's super creaky.
Very creaky.
Yeah. there's one more story if you want to hear it.
Oh, I definitely want to hear it.
Okay. This user says that it all happened about 5 years ago. And this was in 2015. So this happened in 2010. One night, a few of my friends decided after a night of hanging out that we'd go on an adventure at about 3 a.m. Stories that start with that always end bad. We took a ride about 50 miles to this old Spanish ruin in New Mexico that was once the seat of the Inquisition. I can't for the life of me remember what the place is called. So we jumped the front gate to the place and started exploring. One of my friends brought a flute with him and started playing it. And about 30 seconds into his okay playing, something started screaming really, really loud on the tops of the long destroyed walls of the place. It was going from wall to wall really quick, screaming the most blood-curdling scream you've ever heard in your life. They say, we nope the fuck out of there. That's their words. Mm-hmm. And one of their friends pissed their pants. They drove for a few hours to Bandelier National Monument, where they planned to camp out for the rest of the weekend. When they got to Bandelier at probably like 6 or 7 a.m. to set up the camp. After just a few hours, just talking about what the hell happened at the ruins, the person went to pee, probably about 300 feet away from the camp. And this is where everything starts getting a little fuzzy. They remember seeing two dust devils coming their way. And when they turned around again, two of their friends were there and they were motioning me to follow them. I couldn't help but to follow them, like I was being pulled behind them in shackles. I followed them for what seemed like 10 or 15 minutes, then I snapped out of it. These weren't my friends. They had bright red hair with the friends' faces, but cat eyes. Both of her friends were brunette. She stopped walking, and they looked at me with probably the most terrifying gaze I've ever seen. Monsters in movies are nothing compared to this. I turned around and ran as fast as I could back the way I came from. After like 5 minutes at full sprint, she got back to the rock that she was peeing behind and found the camp. Everyone was still there, sitting around talking, and didn't even notice that I was gone. I told them what happened and the lookalike skinwalkers, and they packed everything up and left and went back home.
Yep. Don't blame her for that.
Yeah. I mean, it took the form of her friends and probably saw, you know, what they were going to become when they were at the first place. You know what I mean? Like, whatever it was that was jumping and screaming was like, oh, we're going to become these two people to lure the friend or whatever. A person you know, even though they knew that it wasn't, it still looked very different.
Yeah, because what it sounds like is a lot of times when they hear the voices of family or friends that these things are mimicking, that at first they recognize it as, you know, a family member or friend. It's like, oh, well, that's so-and-so. But as they like really listen to it, they can hear the distortion in it. They can realize, you know, that sounds like them, but that's not them.
Oh, you ever hear somebody calling your name and like nobody's around?
Yes. Well, I mean, that's also if you think about just the Wendigo in general, is because I think the Wendigo has very similar things that go on with the Skinwalker. The way it looks, it's mammal-like, has different body parts. You know, it looks like a human with deer head and antlers. But it has like the same kind of things. There was a story I heard about the Wendigo where it was a couple and their kid were camping and they were sitting next to a fire. And all of a sudden the child could hear whispering that sounded like their parent. And their parents told the child not to look up, to just look at the fire and to pay no mind to the voices. And the child could hear the voice moving all around outside of the campfire. So that makes me think, is the Wendigo just a different version or variety of Skinwalkers or vice versa?
Right, yeah.
Because it always seems like they're trying to mimic, they're trying to lure, they're trying to, you know, what happens to the people that get lured? Like who, you know, someone actually falls for, you know, their tricks, what happens to them? Are these the missing people that go missing out in the woods?
It makes me think of Pennywise luring children. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's not true, but is Pennywise a Wendigo, sort of?
No. I mean, it turned out Pennywise was alien in that as well.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
So it could be just an alien method of luring people to a location where they can abduct them. A very creepy way.
Right, yeah. Super creepy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just offer me some cookies or whatever and I'll come with you.
Yeah.
You got
I'm hungry. What you got? What you got on that ship? But yeah, so I mean, it's just very, very similar between Skinwalker and Wendigo. And I kind of bounce back and forth between the idea that it could be extraterrestrial, it could be paranormal, you know, it could be just something, an interdimensional being, like we talked about with Bigfoot.
Right.
Or great white monkey bat.
Yeah.
These creatures that are able to hide by going through these portals, these hot spots.
I hope I don't live near a portal.
Yeah, I hope I don't either.
Maybe where you were camping was near one.
Mm. It's possible because, I mean, there was, like I said, there was some weird stuff going on. Like those footsteps, it was just like, I mean, me and my wife both heard them.
Yeah.
It wasn't just, you know, some like falling leaves or branches or something. It was something from a distance approaching, walking past the tent and into the camp, and it did not leave the area. Like I would have heard when we got out, I mean there was leaves everywhere. We would have heard it, you know, roll out.
So did y'all do the spirit box before that or after that?
Oh, I can't remember. We stayed two nights, so I'm not sure if it was before or after that.
If it was before, maybe they were warning you, like, spooky, something spooky's gonna happen.
Spooky!
Or maybe they, you know, after, if it was after, they're like, spooky, told you, spooky. Spooky's happening.
I mean, maybe that's a little more evidence or proof that these things are more spiritual. Maybe it was an actual spirit trying to warn us. You know, what if these things are demonic?
Doesn't sound like they're happy, whatever they are.
Do you remember what our meemaw used to tell us when we were little about if you heard your voice getting called to not answer it?
Yeah.
And why would we not answer it?
Because it was the devil.
it was the devil calling your name and trying to lure you.
Yeah. I mean, so these stories have been around forever, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I've never answered it either. Even when I know it's my kids, I just are on the side of caution and just don't answer them.
Just ignore everyone who calls your name.
Oh, you know, I don't have much time, but there was one story that I really did want to read and I totally forgot about it. You got time for one more?
Yep, let's do it.
One more for real. Okay. This is Navajo. They live in a rural community on the Navajo Reservation. My aunt and her two brothers were home alone while my grandparents had left for the evening to attend a chapter house meeting. They were in the house, and like many people from the reservation, they didn't have electricity. It had been dark outside for about an hour, and my aunt and uncles were getting ready for bed. Outside, they heard noises as if someone moving things around outside. My oldest uncle went to look out the front window and saw a figure out by the truck. This was immensely out of the ordinary because the closest neighbor was miles away. Whatever it was opened the truck door and began to dig through personal items that my family had left in the vehicle. My aunt and uncles were frightened by the sight and knew that they should take action. They took out the rifle and all steadied themselves to hold it up. They flung open the door and aimed the gun at the dark figure. The figure turned and started to walk towards them, totally unfazed by the weapon. My uncle pulled the trigger, but nothing happened. The figure drew closer, and my aunt began to smell something like a rotting corpse. It was so strong that it made her gag. My uncle continued to pull the trigger with no luck, and the figure came closer and closer. And then off in the distance, headlights were coming up the road. The grandparents were returning. The figure looked towards the lights and started to move away and tucked itself behind a tree near the house. My oldest uncle ran toward the tree with the gun. My grandfather got out of the car and my uncle pointed to the tree. The thing was poking out its head to observe what they were doing. My grandfather ran in the house over to the stove and grabbed a handful of ashes and rubbed them over the gun and placed an ash-covered bullet into the chamber. He walked out onto the porch and fired toward the tree. Whatever the thing was, didn't expect the gun to go off. I'm guessing the ashes? I don't know. The gunshot echoed and the dark figure began running. My grandma chased my aunt inside and my uncles and grandfather went after it. There weren't many roads or paths, so as my grandfather and uncles chased the figure, the truck was bouncing and the headlights were not fixed on one particular spot. My uncle swears that whenever the headlights would hit the figure, he saw a woman. Not only that, whoever it was running on all fours like a bear. My grandfather eventually stopped the truck, and as they neared the ditch that drops about 20 feet, he got out and began to yell in Navajo. My uncle says that he was yelling about a local woman. He yelled that he wasn't scared and that he knew it was her and to leave his family alone. A few days passed, and there was news that the woman my grandfather was yelling about had passed away. I've always been told that if you know who the skinwalker is, say their name and it will kill them. So he knew who it was and was yelling her name and she died. So that, the whole witch theory, that right there is kind of a little proof, I guess, that it could possibly be a witch.
So she could have been the actual witch that has the ability to shapeshift.
Right. Yep. So if you happen to see a skinwalker and you think you know who it is, just say some random names. No. Maybe it'll kill them off.
Ned, is that you?
I'm willing to try, right?
Yeah. Ned, Bill, Chad.
Dick.
I'm sure you'll land one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth a try.
Oh, so it seems like these things fuck more with the Navajo, kind of like what the other story had said, where it's really unlikely for a skinwalker to show itself to a non-Navajo. Mm-hmm. But they really mess with the Navajo people hard. I'm wondering if, could it be a Navajo witch, or is it just any witch? Like, I don't know. Something to think about, right?
Oh. Yeah. And also, if you, our listeners, have had any type of odd encounter or story that you think may have been a skinwalker or Wendigo or something of that nature, mm-hmm. You know, feel free to tell us and let us know.
Yeah, we want to hear it. You can click the leave a voice message in the podcast summary, or you can find us on Instagram at #creaky, spell out #, leave us a message there. Be sure to follow us because I always post when we have a new episode. That way you can get those notifications. And also, you know, follow the podcast. We also have another podcast that we do called the Sis Bro Show, which is not creaky at all. It's
a little bit more upbeat.
Yeah, we do talk about some creaky stuff, but for the most part, it's just us being hilarious.
Yeah, or theories. I'm all about hearing some more theories on what these things could be.
I would really like to hear from anybody that maybe has Navajo ancestry too. Anything that you've heard that maybe we didn't mention, or any kind of, even if you don't have Navajo ancestry, if you've heard anything about skinwalkers that maybe we didn't mention, I would like to hear that too. Just so we can do some extra research, because these things are ever evolving. It seems like, you know, I always want to learn more about them, you know, without having the experience myself.
Yeah, because it's always interesting to hear these stories that have so many things in common.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. about how skinwalkers in general act, how they move, you know, what they're doing to try and lure people in.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to go to Golden Valley and see if we see anything. But after I've heard about how if it sees your face and all this other stuff, I don't know if I want to go.
I wouldn't mind, like I said, photographical evidence, either photo or video.
Yeah. We could always go set some stuff up and then go stay in a hotel and then see what we get.
I mean, I've already went camping in some pretty creepy location, apparently. So, I mean, I'd be down to stay out in the woods.
Ooh, all right. I'll be in the hotel. You call me if you need me.
All right. We'll have walkie-talkies. I'm like, Megan, come in. Over.
I'm getting a massage right now. Over.
What kind of place are you staying at? It's massages. Wait a minute.
No. Hey, we're going ghost hunting. I got to be prepared. Oh.
I'll be like, I'm getting a massage too from a skinwalker.
Oh, God.
Help me.
Okay. So,
all right.
Next episode. Did we decide what we were going to talk about?
I think we did.
What was it?
The Moon-Eyed People?
The Moon-Eyed People, yes.
Yes, the Moon-Eyed People.
The Moon-Eyed People of North Carolina, which is a Cherokee legend. So, yeah, we're going to do some more research on that. Hey, and if you've heard anything about the Moon-Eyed People or, you know, anything you want to add to it, any experiences, anything you've heard maybe, like, your grandparents talk about, if you're in North Carolina especially, or if you have Cherokee heritage, anything, we want to hear about Moon-Eyed People for our next episode, right?
Yes, right, correct.